Would you turn, please, to the book of Genesis this morning, Genesis chapter 44. I meant to go back and look and I forgot, but I think I've been in Genesis all month. Good place to be. Beginning of the year, Genesis. We're in the Genesis of a new year. Somebody commented this morning that the first month is almost gone. It certainly is. Time gets by. Genesis 44, chapter 44, is an account of Joseph. Joseph, son of Jacob, Israel. Joseph. I want to read one verse in chapter 44, and that is verse 33. We're going to read other verses, but we'll begin with Genesis 44, 33. The Word of God, brethren, says this, "Now, therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. Now, therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren." I read it and I read these words and I don't know how to put the inflection on them like this man put, but this man was desperate. He was petitioning. He was begging. He was doing his dead level best to convince another man to let the lad go. God bless me to rightly divide His Word is my prayer, and God's Spirit come and help me and you and teach us, I pray. Let's look at this verse and let me just give you the words again, brethren. And he says, "Now therefore," another preacher in this denomination years ago, he was a cousin of mine, he said, when you find a therefore, you need to look above it and see what it's there for. And what this therefore is there for is he's concluding his petition to another man. He has given him reasons. He's given him background. He's given him a history here and he's given him all that. And he says, in light of all that, now therefore, I pray thee, I petition thee. He's not praying to God. He's petitioning another man. He's pleading with another man. He's giving an earnest request to another man. And that request is this, let thy servant, and there he's referring to himself, let me stay here instead of the lad. Let me take his place. I'm your servant. I'll be your slave. I'll be a bond slave. This was a man free, born free. He says, make me your slave. Let me stay here instead of the lad, in the lad's place, a bondman, a slave to my Lord. And that's Lord with a little L. That's the Lord to another man. He says, I'll be your servant. I'll be your slave to my Lord. And let the lad go up with his brethren. Free the lad and keep me. Who is this that was speaking, brethren? It was a man by the name of Judah. Judah, look in verse 18, same chapter. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord. And then that's Lord with a, he's talking to a man with a little L. That's Judah. That identifies who this speaker is. To whom is Judah speaking, brethren? Look at verse 14. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. There, Judah, brethren, is speaking to Joseph, his brother. But Judah doesn't know it's Joseph. He's speaking to the Lord of the land of Egypt. He's speaking to the prime minister, the second in command, the only man more powerful at this moment in the whole land of Egypt is Pharaoh. Because Joseph has been put in charge of the whole Pharaoh said, only on the crown will I be over you. You're next. It's Judah, brethren, and he's an older brother of Joseph. Typically, it's not going to be like that. The younger serve the older, but it wasn't that way in the family. But Judah doesn't know who he's speaking to. He hasn't seen his brother in at least 13 years. I'm not sure if I got those years right, but a long time. He hasn't seen him. And Joseph is dressed like an Egyptian. He looks probably like an Egyptian. He's speaking through an interpreter, not speaking the Hebrew language that he knows to his brethren. He doesn't want them to know him at this moment. And Judah is desperate, brethren. And they're in Egypt. They came to Egypt to get corn. There's a famine in the land of Canaan as well as in the land of Egypt. And Joseph is now ruler over Egypt except for Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, nothing's going to happen absent you, Joseph. They're going to bow to you. They're going to do what you say. And these brethren are now before their younger brother, Joseph. They're all in one place in his house. They have fallen before him. They have fallen before him. Something that they said they would never do. My granddaddy or somebody in my family used to say often, don't ever say what you're not going to do. And I try not to do that. I say sometimes, rather than the Lord willing, I'll not do this. But I try not to be so bold as to say, I'll never do this. Simon Peter, didn't he say, Lord, I'll never deny you. Be careful. Be careful. Joseph, back when he was a young boy, he dreamed a dream. This is chapter 37, verse 5. And he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. They hated him to start with. And when he began to tell them about his dreams, they hated him more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray ye, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And there was another dream that's in the Word of God, but won't read it. But that's the fulfillment of one of those dreams. It says that the men came into Joseph's house and they bowed down. They fell down before him. They had already done it on a prior trip, but now this is their second trip into Egypt to get grain. They still don't know it's Joseph that's before them. They had sold him into slavery. Chapter 37, verse 26. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? They had said, here comes this dreamer. They saw him coming. His daddy had sent him, Joseph, to them to check on him. And they said, they saw him coming. They said, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. I love that. That's chapter 37, verse 20. We shall see what will become of his dreams. isn't that good? And you can turn over a few chapters, and you'll see Joseph's brothers showed up, and they fell down before him. They didn't, at that point, I think, bow, brethren. I think they fell down flat before him. They lay before him as low as they could get. The brothers have come to buy corn, and then they got the corn and they left, and then they were brought back because Joseph had had his servant put his silver cup in the sack of Benjamin. And the man came to them and said, why have y'all returned evil for good, the good that my master's done to you? And they said, we've not done any evil. I'm paraphrasing. And he says, oh, well, his cup's missing. Let's take a look. And they said, sure, take a look. And let the one, by the way, if you find it in any of our sacks, you can kill whoever's got it. And guess whose sack they found it in? Benjamin. And they come back, and that's why they fall before Joseph and Benjamin. And Joseph has now said, brethren, whoever is found in his grain sack, he's going to be my servant. He's going to be my slave. He's going to stay here. And so, brethren, that's why Judah is so desperate as he makes this plea to his brother, unknown to him that it's Joseph. He's making a plea to the man in authority in Egypt. and he gives the background, and he says, we came down here, I'm going to paraphrase it for the sake of time. Judah says, oh, sir, we came down here because of the famine, and we got here, and you said, we saw you, and you saw us, and you said, you men are spies. And we said, no, we're not spies. We're 12 men, all the sons of one man. We're brothers, and one of us is not. That is, one of us is dead. He stands there before Joseph, who they sold into slavery, and says, our younger brother, he doesn't call him by name, he said, he's dead. What an ironic thing. He's talking to Joseph, telling Joseph he's dead. But he doesn't know it's Joseph. He thinks it's this Egyptian up there. And he said, and the youngest is back at home with daddy. He wouldn't let him come because he's already lost his older brother. And he says, if you take Benjamin, the lad, with you, and I'll lose him, I'll die. And he says, sir, you told us not to come back without our brother, that you would not see us, you would not sell grain to us if we didn't bring our brother. And he says, I asked daddy to let him come, and daddy says, no, I'm not letting you take him. But our grain ran out. This is me paraphrasing. Brother, it's in chapter 44. You can read it. And he says, we told daddy, we can't get corn. We can't get anything to eat if you don't let Benjamin go. And he finally relented. And he said, I became surety for my little brother Benjamin. I guaranteed his return. When you become surety for somebody, you guarantee a certain thing. I worked a long time in the criminal courts of our state, and one of the things that people do is if somebody's in jail and you want to get them out, you say, I'll make sure he shows up for court. This is called going on their bond or their bail. I could tell you a lot about that. It's just boring. I don't need to get into that, but I wrote them pretty hard about not showing up for court in whatever little sphere I had as a prosecutor. If they didn't show up for court, man, I made sure I got a word in with the judge on the record and say, I'd like his bond revoked. Revoke his bond and hold him in jail. Find him and let the sheriff find him and hold him. Because this surety here says he'll have him here and he's not here. And I would say to the surety, be back on a certain day and we'll try to get some money out of you because you promised to pay so much money if the man didn't show up. Anyway, I bore you with that. But Judah has said to his daddy, I will bring him back, daddy. I'll bring him back. And now this authority figure in Egypt says, he's staying here. You go ahead. He stole my cup. He's going to be with me. Think of how Judah felt. Think of how he felt. I said to you earlier, I don't know, when I read, now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad. I tell you, there was some feeling, brethren, in those words when Judah was talking to that man up there in that chair seated above him, and he's flat of his face on the floor. He is doing all he can to convince the man to let the lad go up with his brethren. They're before Joseph. Now, brethren, I want to give you some things so far. Been my thoughts, hopefully from God, led by the Spirit. As I studied this lesson, and it's a lesson that I love to read. I read it every January for the last several years, and I love to read it, and I see Jesus in it. Last year, about this time, I said to you that Jesus is our Joseph. Jesus saved us, brethren, when we were dead in trespasses and sins. But that's not the primary message today. At least it's generally that message. But last year or the year before, as I was studying it, somebody, I think probably John Gill, wrote, Jesus is our Joseph. Because, brethren, he stepped in when we weren't like Joseph's brothers, starving and on the verge of starving. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and Jesus stepped in. And today the lesson's just a little bit different. It's about Judah, but it's also about Joseph. And I got some thoughts here. I read in some articles about this account right here. And I just want to tell you, some of these words are mine and some are not, but they're good. I believe that they're words from God either way. now the men or the brothers are before Joseph a second time with Benjamin. They have sold Joseph and they're about to lose Benjamin because Joseph said, he stays with me. Joseph is, these are not my words, this is something I read. It's good though. Joseph is, by his actions, bringing their sins to remembrance. Joseph, initially on that first visit, he toyed around with them a little bit. That's my words. He said, you men are spies. He recognized his brothers. They didn't recognize him. He says, you men are spies. Prove me you're not spies by bringing your brother. You say you got a little brother at home, right? Okay, bring him. And boy, that put them on the spot because daddy's already said, they know how daddy feels about Benjamin. And he's already lost Joseph. They say, uh-oh. They go back and they wait as long as they can. But then their daddy relents. Joseph, it says here, reminds them of their sins. Let me see if I can find it. Let's see. Genesis 42. This is one of the occasions that they're before Joseph. And this is what they say. Joseph says to them, this is 42:20. Joseph says, bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified. In other words, you'll prove what you're saying if you bring that little brother you told me about, first visit before Joseph, and ye shall not die. And they did so. They left. Verse 21. And they said one to another, this is the boys talking. Listen, Joseph is hearing this. We are verily guilty concerning our brother. Now they're talking about Joseph now. In that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Oh, what a sorry situation that was. Therefore is this distress come upon us. You see, they were saying that 13 years, I think I've got the years right, later, after they sold Joseph to the Midianites, they sold him as a slave. It's amazing to me how those brothers could get one of their number and this caravan comes by and they can say, hey, this kid right here, he's our slave. Would you like to buy him? He's part of their family. They got the same daddy. And these men dealt maybe in trade and maybe in slave trade. I don't know. Maybe in other things. And they bought him. They bought him for 20 pieces of silver. And they took him down into Egypt. Verse 22, and that now, years later, they're in the very presence of that man, Joseph, and they're saying, we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Joseph, in the account of when it happens, it doesn't say in God's word that Joseph said anything, but now it says here, he besought us. That means, brethren, Joseph begged them, don't do this. Therefore is this distress come upon us. 13 long years later, if I've got the years right. Joseph was 17 at the time, and he's now 30. And you know what they say? Here's a sad commentary. This is happening to us because of what we did to Joseph. That man is saying, bring your baby brother to me. And there, you know what God says in Numbers? Be sure your sin will find you out. 13 hours, 13 days, 13 years doesn't matter with God. He's got all the time he needs, brethren. You won't outweigh him. And Reuben answered them saying, spake I not unto you saying, do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold also, his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. Joseph's hearing all that. All right, now I want to say again, brethren, Joseph is by his actions bringing their sin to remembrance. They haven't forgotten their sin. No, they remember it. They repent now. They're sorry of what they did. They're saying to one another, I told you so. I told you we ought not have done that. But Judah, let's talk about Judah now, brethren. Judah's repentant. I suppose all of them were, but Judah certainly was. Judah begins to speak. And he says, let the lad go. I'll take his place in his stead. I'll stand in his stead. That's Judah. Read, not now, but read this chapter 44. Read his plea to Joseph. He doesn't know it's Joseph, but read it. He was willing, brethren. Judah stood up and he stepped forward. He began to speak for himself and for his brothers and for his little brother, Benjamin. And he said, I'll take his place. Take me. Now here's some other thoughts I read about this situation. Listen to this, brethren. This is a quote. I don't know who wrote it. I just copied it down. It is being willing to lose everything that Judah achieves greatness, for he will receive Jacob's greatest blessing. I've been reading along in Genesis this week, and I came to the part where Jacob's about to die. He's down in Egypt. Joseph would send for him and bring him down and set him up in the land of Goshen, and Jacob would die there. He said, don't you bury me down here. Take me back. But he was buried in the cave of Machpelah, where Abraham and Isaac were buried. But he's down in Egypt, and word gets to Joseph. Some of his servants say, your daddy's about to die. So Joseph goes to him. And Jacob, among other things, he begins to pronounce blessings on the children. And the one that he pronounces upon Judah, 49, Genesis 49, it begins in verse 1, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. And he begins to bless them. And then verse 8 says, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? In other words, you better not mess with him. The scepter, get this, verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. You know who Shiloh is? That's the Messiah. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. Oh, he's got plenty of wine and grapes and corn. He's going to be prosperous. He's going to be a great man. That's the blessing. In being willing to lose everything, give it all up. His family, whatever he had back in Canaan, his family, wife, children, maybe grandchildren, I don't know. In being willing to lose everything that Judah, it is in being willing to lose everything that Judah achieves greatness, for he will receive Jacob's greatest blessing. Here's something else that the person wrote. In giving up his life, Judah actually finds it. The happy ending to this story is Joseph doesn't say, this man of authority doesn't say, okay, I'll let the lad go, you stay, and you're going to serve me the rest of your days. That's not the way it happened. Joseph would say, in a minute, he cried out, everybody get out of here except these men right here, talking about his brothers, to the Egyptians, everybody out. And they leave out, and he says, I am Joseph. I'm your brother. In giving up his life, Judah actually finds it. Can you think of any verses that sound like that in the New Testament? In giving up his life, Judah actually finds it. In Judah saying, take me, let the lad go. The words of our Lord and Savior in John chapter 12, verse 25, John 12, 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Judah the happy ending is Judah got let go too, as well as the rest of the brothers. And Joseph, who revealed himself to them, said, "Go get Daddy. Go get Daddy. Go get your families and come back down here. We're in the second year of the famine. There's five left. You're going to come to nothing if you go back and stay. So go back and get Daddy and your families and come down here." Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren, and he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. That's an understatement right there. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt." Then he says, "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. There will I nourish thee, keeping you out of poverty." Oh, Judah, bless him for standing up and saying, "Take me and let the lad go." Now, here's the last point, brethren, the last thing I want to say. Not my words, this is a quote. "Still, there is one greater than Judah." Oh, okay. I got a verse I want to give you, but it's in here. "Still, there is one greater than Judah, one who had no sin and did not need to be convicted of his transgressions." You remember Joseph, what Joseph was doing was bringing it back to the minds and hearts and consciences of his brothers, what they had done. "Still, there is one greater than Judah, one who had no sin and did not need to be convicted of his transgressions because he had none. Yet he stepped forward, didn't he? He stepped forward. Judah's greatest son." Who's that? Yes, sir. Let me read you from Hebrews. Let me read you what Paul said in Hebrews 7:14. Judah's greatest son. In Hebrews 7:14, the Apostle Paul wrote this, "For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah." Yeah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's our Lord. The one greater than Judah. He stepped forward. Judah's greatest son. He gave up his life for our sake. I meant to look it up and I forgot it. But in one of the Gospels, maybe it's Mark, I'm not sure, but one of the Gospels, it'd be Matthew, Mark, or Luke. Jesus was arrested and they came and got him in the garden. They arrested him. Of course, he allowed it. But he said, if you, this is paraphrased too. He said, "If you're coming after me," he said, what? Three words. "Let them go." Judah's a picture of Jesus, isn't he? Yeah. Our Lord and Savior, who was sinless, he stepped up and said, "Let them go. Let them go." And brethren, you and I go free. We lads, we go free. Because our Lord stepped up in our place, the one who was sinless. Oh, Judah, some words that I read about Judah. Judah had a son who died, and in that day, another son was to be given to that widow if he had no children, and that other son was to produce offspring, and the first offspring would carry on the family name, the name of that deceased man, is the way I understand it. And Judah had a son and daughter-in-law, and the son died, and the young son came along, and Judah did not give the widow to his son. And it's a bad, bad, bad thing. Judah was out and about and wanted a woman, and his daughter-in-law was a widow, and she wore widow's clothing, but she realized that Judah was not, her father-in-law was not going to give her her brother-in-law to be her husband and to produce a child by her. And so she took her widow's clothing off and dressed up like a harlot, is my understanding. and sat by the road or the trail there, and along comes Judah, desiring a woman, so he fathers a child by her. And he didn't know it was his daughter-in-law, but he didn't have any business doing what he did. That's Judah. He did some other things, but brethren, we do bad things too. The key is to repent. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Judah, some of the writers that wrote about this, I read, they said, Judah repented and he got right. And here, brethren, he's doing right, what we read about today. He stepped up. He said, I'll give up my life in Canaan. I'll give up my family. Just take me, let the lad go. And that's a picture, brethren, of what Jesus, our Lord, the sinless one, did for every one of us. Every one of us. He let us go. We stood under the judgment of God, convicted as sinners before a holy God. And Jesus says, let them go. Let them go. I'll go for them. And he did. And he went to the cross of Calvary for us. And so let me read you one more time. It is in being willing to lose everything that Judah achieves greatness. He got his daddy's greatest blessing. In giving up his life, Judah actually finds it. That was Judah's blessing. And I'll read you one thing in closing. This is it, I promise. Even if we are not martyred for the faith, if we're willing to give up our lives, even if we don't literally get killed for our faith, we are to give our lives over to Jesus. This may mean having your children frown upon you when you demand that they keep from doing what everybody else is doing. Not easy to be a daddy, is it? Or it may be that you must speak forthrightly regarding a friend's behavior, even if you might lose the friendship. Not easy speaking up, is it? You might have to speak out against ungodliness in your community, in your family, in your nation. You might have to do that. You might have to give up your life in that way and the comfort zone that you're in. And then this person wrote at the end of the article, will you lay down your life for Christ this day? And that's the question right there, brother. That's the question. It can be something really, really big. It can be your physical life that you lay down, or it can be something relatively much smaller than that. It may mean having to say no to your child. No, daddy's not going to let you do that. That's my job to say no in this case. I'd love to say yes, but I can't. You might have to say to yourself, no, I'm not going to indulge that pleasure right there that I want. I'm going to give it up. I'm going to give up that part. So I can have life eternal. Step forward, brethren, step up. God, give me and you the grace to do that. What a wonderful, beautiful story with a wonderful, happy ending. You'll be blessed of God if you do it. You'll have blessings of obedience if we do it. Oh, Father, please bless me to have rightly divided your word and said the right thing. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will take, Lord, what I've said and bless it to all of our hearts, mine especially. Oh God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the freedom to worship here. Thank you for calling us, oh God, from death into life and calling us, Lord, to take up our crosses and deny ourselves. Give us the grace to do it, that we'll reap the blessings of fellowship and communion with our Lord and Savior along life's narrow way. We pray it in his name, the one who stepped up for us and let us go free. In his name we pray, amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn, brethren. If that applies to you and you love God, you know the Spirit of God's talking to you, you want to be a part of the church here, come forward as we stand and sing this hymn.